Well, welcome again to our online Bible study today. And I'm going to kind of go off of last week, last session that we talked about. And I want to take kind of the same idea, but from a little different angle. I wanted to do these in two separate ones. And so we're going to kind of read the same passage again, but I want us to think about it from a little different perspective. So we're going to look again at verse number 12. Look at what the Bible says. It says, "Now when the turn came for each young woman to go into King Ahasuerus, after being 12 months under the regulations for the women, since this was the regular period of their beautifying, 6 months with oil of myrrh and 6 months with the spices and ointments for women, when the young woman went into the king in this way, she was given whatever she desired to take with her from the harem to the king's palace. And in the evening she would go in, and in the morning she would return to the second harem in custody of Sheshgaz, the king's eunuch, who was in charge of the concubines." Now, here's what I want us to think about today. She would not go into the king again unless the king delighted in her and she was summoned by name. Now, last session, we talked about this idea of beauty and the external, the things that we do to seek approval from others, or even the things that sometimes we do demanding something from others for us to approve them. And we talked about how the gospel is the answer to both of those, that we shouldn't lift ourselves, we shouldn't lower ourselves and think that we're have to do things to gain approval, but we also shouldn't demand those either, because Jesus, the gospel is the answer to both of those. Well, today I want us to think about the aspect of these young women who go into the king. And it says, the Bible says that she spent, these women who, remember, were taken from their homes. This spanned 127 provinces. And these young women were picked up by these princes and taken back to the king. And they did all this. They went through cosmetics and eating and 12 months of beautifying for one night. For one night. And the Bible says that the girls would not go into the king again unless the king delighted in her and she was summoned by name. And so you think about all that they went through, and they were these young virgins. And if they spent one night with the king and he was bored with her for whatever reason, send me another one. And then they would go to another harem with this other guy, Sheshgaz, and that's where she would live the rest of her life. After one night, if the king didn't delight in her, he would send her off. And I just think about the shame of that, the hurt and the pain of that. And you think about those families who lost their young daughters to this. And so I think about just that, the shame, and I mean, it wasn't her fault. Like, she got picked up by this and taken away. There could have been a threat of violence or even death if she didn't go along with it, because I mean, he's the king, right? And so I just think about the shame and how they were used and abused for nothing more than just their looks, and really for pleasure. And how they must have felt afterwards. We're not told that, but I mean, exactly, but that's what's going on. Like, we're told the process here that's going on. And so I want us to think about, in our life, the things that we have done in our past that we have shame and guilt about. We talked about last week about the approval and the things that we do to try to gain approval, but I think there's also things in our life that we could look back and say, man, I'm not proud of that. That's the thing that I don't really want to come out. That's not something I really want to talk about, because I did this or this. In some cases, it's things that happened to you. It's not even things that you did. It's that somebody else did to you, and now you're ashamed of it. A lot of times, that's what happened, is the shame comes because somebody else did something to you, and that's what's happening here. But I think we have those things in our life where either somebody did something to us that was shameful, or either we did things and we look back and we have guilt and shame about it. And we say, man, I can't believe I did that. And you would do anything that you could to change that. And you might even, that might even be affecting your current relationships, and it might even be affecting your relationship with God. Because in your mind, you keep telling yourself, and anytime that you fail, anytime you fail God, you fall short, you sin, you say, look at that. That, because that's the kind of person I am. And God can't use me because I did this. And you have a lot of guilt and you have a lot of shame. And it will even affect your relationship with God. You'll start to turn away from Him and think, well, He can't use me. The enemy will put those lies in your head and say, look, you're unworthy. You're not worth God. He can't use you. He's done with you. Just go ahead, give it up, quit. And it's all going back to guilt and shame from sin that was either done to you or something that you did in your, you know, in your past. And so today I want us to think about that, not so that we can relive the traumatic things that's happened to us or the bad decisions that we lived, but I'm sure these young women, they were in that situation where they were just thinking about the things that's happened to them and the situations that they were in. And so what I want to do today, instead of going back and reliving those things and trying to litigate those things and all that, what I just want to do today, I wanted to take today to just tell you, hey, Jesus doesn't work like that. Jesus doesn't operate like this king where once He's done with you, He just throws you away. Once He's used you and abused you and gotten what He wanted from you, He just casts you away. No. The Bible says that Jesus came to take our shame away. See, we have to understand that guilt and shame, when we sin, either when we sin or when sin has happened to us, guilt and shame comes from the sin. And again, sometimes we do that to ourselves. Sometimes others have done that to us. And then anytime those things come up or anytime we fail again, we go back to that guilt and shame because that's what sin brings. And it goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden, Genesis 3. When Adam and Eve sinned, what did they do? When, once they ate of the fruit, they knew what? They were naked. And they went from being naked and unashamed to now they realize that they are naked. And so what do? They go and hide. And they go and they try to get fig leaves to cover themselves up. Why? Because they're ashamed. They know they're guilty and they are ashamed. And so they try to cover up themselves to try, and they try to hide from God who can see everything. And so they put a physical barrier between them, but they also go and try to hide themselves. The fig leaves even weren't enough. They knew that didn't really hide them. So they tried to go and hide. And God goes and pursues them. I love that part of the story. As ugly and as bad as that situation is because of their disobedience and because of their sin, the Bible says that God calls out to them and says, Adam, where are you? And He goes and finds them and He calls them out. Why? Because that's what God wants us to do, is God wants to deal with the sin. He doesn't want the shame. He doesn't want the guilt. And so God pursued them and He goes and calls them out. And He says, who told you you were? And Adam said, I hid because we were naked. And He said, who told you you were naked? See, God deals with it directly. And so then we see all that happened in there where they deal with the sin and there's the curses and things like that. And then what does God do? The Bible says God killed an animal so that they could have the skins for covering. God says, you don't get to cover that up. When you try to cover it up, it's nothing but guilt and shame. But if I cover it, then it can be taken care of. And so there was an animal that was killed. So that means there was blood that was shed. And then He gave them skin so that they could truly be covered. And so that they could be whole again. There could be restoration there. Now, we think about that. And then we fast forward now to the time that Jesus was on earth. When He goes to the cross, the Bible says that He was stripped. And He was put on display, essentially. And that was part of the crucifixion, was the just terrible way that the death happened. But there was also this shame aspect of putting you out so that everybody could see, so that you would be humiliated and then you would die and be tortured in an awful, terrible way. And so the Bible says that he was, stripped and on display for everybody to see. They tried to shame him. That was part of the crucifixion. But here's the thing that we have to remember is that Jesus, who did not deserve that at all, not only did he bear our sin, but the Bible says he bore our shame. That was put upon him as well. And in Hebrews, it says that Jesus went to the, for the joy that was before him, he went to the cross despising the shame. And so he went and did all that. He took the shame so that we don't have to stand ashamed before God. See, just like those animal skins, God gave those animal skins through the shedding of blood of those animals to cover up and to redeem and to restore Adam and Eve. Jesus was our lamb that was shed. And because his blood was shed. Now, we're not given skins, right? Like, we're not given skins to cover us. But the Bible says that we receive and we are clothed in the righteousness of God. So just like we look at Adam and Eve, I love this. So just like we look at Adam and Eve and we say, okay, God covered them with skins of an animal and God had to shed that animal's blood to cover them with their skin. So then when we look at Adam and Eve, we no longer see fig leaves. No, we see skins that cover them as clothing, right? But the Bible says that when we put our faith and trust in Jesus, when we trust his shed blood, then we don't get an external covering, but we have a spiritual covering over us of Christ himself. So that when God looks at us, he no longer sees our unrighteousness. He no longer sees our fig leaves. He no longer sees our sin, but instead he sees us as if we were clothed in Christ. He no longer sees us. He sees Christ's righteousness. We are wrapped in that. And so the problem is when we deal with guilt and shame, it's because we're trying to put fig leaves back on. We're trying to cover our sin and trying to deal with our sin and the guilt and shame of that, and we're trying to cover it ourselves. But what we have to remember is we can't go back and change anything that's happened in our life. We can't. It would be great if we could, but we can't. But what we have to remember is that Jesus took our shame. On the cross, he bore our sin, yes, but he also bore our shame. And so if we put our faith and trust in him, and his shed blood has covered every sin, past, present, and future, then the Bible says we are now clothed in Christ. So we never have to stand before God the way that Adam and Eve did when they were hiding from him. They were trying to run from him. No, instead, we are Adam and Eve standing before God, clothed in that new righteousness. We're God has sent, and he has sent the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, and shed his blood so that we can be clothed in his righteousness. And so anytime we deal with that guilt and shame, and the enemy wants to bring it up, or our mind and our heart wants to bring those things up and say, man, I'm just not worthy because of what I've done. We have to remember, no, Jesus has died for that. And I don't have to stand in shame and guilt before God because Jesus paid for that. And he doesn't see me that way. He doesn't see me that way. He sees me. He doesn't see me. He sees Christ. I am clothed in Christ, in his righteousness. And the thing is that righteousness cannot be dirtied. It cannot be spoiled. It is completely righteous forever and always because it's Christ's righteousness, not ours. And so when the enemy wants to bring up the guilt, when the enemy wants to bring up the shame, when we want to do that, or when other people want to remind us of the things we've done, we have to go back not to that day and not to try to cover it up ourselves, but to just claim that we are in Christ and Christ has forgiven it. And before God, I can stand blameless and faultless, not because I am, but because Christ is. And that's what I'm wrapped in. That's what I'm clothed in forevermore, is in Christ's righteousness. And so today I want us to think about, is there something in your life, man, that you're still carrying guilt and shame about? The answer to that, as I will say so many times, the answer to that is the gospel. It's understanding what Jesus has done for you, what his blood has accomplished. It has forgiven that sin. And then by faith, we have received his righteousness and we are clothed in that. So that even though we can say, I have done those things, God knows and God has forgiven me and I can stand before him faultless and blameless because I am in Christ. And so then Satan can't accuse you anymore. Your friends, your family, your loved ones who knew you back then, they can't accuse you anymore because God has already demanded, or God has already declared that you are innocent of that. And he has given you his righteousness so that he doesn't see you that way anymore. He sees you, as the Bible says, faultless and blameless. And so today, maybe there's guilt and shame that you're dealing with and you need to say, you know what, God, I need your help to get past this. Help me to stop trying to put the fig leaves back on and understand what I am clothed in, the righteousness of Christ, and that can't be spoiled, that can never be dirtied up, that will remain perfect, and that's how you see me. I can't go back and change anything, but before you, God, I'm not going to run from you. I'm not going to quit. I'm going to keep serving you. I'm going to keep following you. I'm going to keep trying to reach others because of what you've done for me in Christ. And that's who I am. And so we talked about our identity last time, but this comes back to our identity as well. Because approval is just part of it, but guilt and shame is a big part of it. And so today, I just want to encourage you that if you have put your faith and trust in Jesus, then you are clothed in his righteousness. You don't need fig leaves to try to cover up the things that you've done. Know who you are in Christ. Know what Jesus has done for you. And know your position and your standing before God. That Jesus has taken your shame once and for all. And so now you can stand before God and know that you've been forgiven. And know that he will never forsake you, and he will never use you up and discard you the way the king does, but rather he is continuing his work in you, and he wants to work through you for his glory and for your good. And so today, just hand that guilt and shame over to him once and for all and say, God, I'm trusting you with this. And I thank you that you have forgiven me. And I thank you that you have given me Christ's righteousness. Now help me to walk in that each and every day so that I don't seek to please others and I don't let them bring me down, but rather I'm going to seek to be pleasing to you because of what you've done for me. So I pray that that encourages you today, and I hope that that helps you pray as a response to this. But thank God that he has taken our shame away from us, and that he is the one who has made us faultless and blameless before him. So God bless you. Hope you all have a great day and a great weekend, and we'll see you soon.